The month of Elul marks the beginning of a process that leads us toward the Yamim Noraim, the days of awe. Yet in another sense, even at the beginning of Elul, we are already mid-process. Going back to at least medieval France, the sequence of Haftarot we read in the synagogue on Shabbat from the 17th of Tammuz until Yom Kippur were understood as representing a long process split into three periods. A. Calamity, Poranut, the Haftarot of the 3 weeks between the 17th of Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. B. Comfort, Nechama, the 7 weeks between Tisha B'Av and the second to last Shabbat on the month of Elul. And C. Repentance, Teshuvah, on the Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah and the Shabbat before Yom Kippur. Rosh Chodesh Elul, then, is in the middle of the Sheva Denechemta, the 7 Haftarot of Consolation, in the midst of a process of Nechama for the Jewish people. It is easy to understand the need of consolation after Tisha B'Av, but the fact that this period of Nechama continues into the month of Elul raises a question. What is the relationship between Elul as a time of Teshuvah, a month of mercy and forgiveness, and its place within this period of Nechama? After all, Elul ushers in a period of growing tension and apprehension, one that seems, at least at first glance, much closer to calamity than to comfort. What kind of consolation can we find when, according to the familiar religious imagination, the sword of judgment hangs over our necks? When we have not yet discovered who will live and who will die, who by water and who by fire, who by the sword and who by the beast? To answer this question, we need to say something about Nechama. The first appearance of the root Nun Chet Mem, Nacham, in the Torah, comes at the end of Parashat Bereshit, when humanity sins and God resolves to destroy the human beings he created at the beginning of the Parsha. It says in Genesis 6:6, Vayinachem Adonai ki asa et ha'adam ba'aretz, vayitatzev el libo. The Lord reconsidered, but the Hebrew root used is Nacham. The Lord reconsidered having made humankind on the earth, and he was grieved to his heart. Here, Nechama does not necessarily mean consolation at all. In its plain sense, it describes a change of position. Something I once looked at one way and formed one judgment about is now something I see and feel differently about. Rather than comfort, this kind of Nechama is very connected to Elul. Nechama can mean regret. During Elul, we look back at our actions and become capable of saying, as God says about humanity, "What I did was not good." We reconsider our previous assessment of ourselves and of our actions. But later in the Torah, the word Nechama takes on another meaning, one that becomes dominant in the language of the prophets and eventually in modern Hebrew. Vayakumu kol banav ubnotav lenachamo vayema'en leitnachem vayomer ki ered el bni avel she'ola vayevkoto aviv. All his sons and daughters rose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "I will go down to Sheol mourning for my son," he said. And his father bewailed him. Here, Nechama describes a process of recovery after catastrophe. What is the relationship between these two meanings of Nechama? Encountering death can plunge us into despair. It can make us feel that there is no point in living, that the defining reality of life is now grief, and that there is no way out of it. Nechama is the process through which we become capable of embracing a renewed faith in life. It is the ability to see loss and difficulty not only as things that have happened to us, but also as the possibility of rebuilding. In other words, Nechama is not merely an experience of regret for being sad. It is a change of perspective, a process of putting on a new pair of glasses through which to see reality. Perhaps thinking of Elul as a time of Nechama teaches us that Teshuvah can and should be more than a moment of regret. Perhaps it requires a renewed understanding of who we truly want to be and what our role in the world is. According to the chronology preserved in the rabbinic tradition, there is another connection between the 17th of Tammuz and Yom Kippur. On the 17th of Tammuz, the tablets were broken. On the 10th of Tishrei, Yom Kippur, the second tablets were given. This means that the day on which Moses ascended Mount Sinai for the second time and began preparing the second tablets was Rosh Chodesh Elul. As the Midrash puts it, the verse says, "Carve for yourself two stone tablets like the first ones." This took place on Rosh Chodesh Elul. He spent 40 days receiving the second tablets. We find that the second tablets were given on Yom Kippur. Seen through the prism of the Sheva Denechemta, Rosh Chodesh Elul therefore serves as a significant turning point between different stages of Nechama. It is the moment when, after the initial process of recovering from the shock, a person hears God's call to begin the work of repair. During Elul, we can find Nechama in the very possibility of Teshuvah, in our ability to influence our own fate, and even the fate of the world. It has been my great privilege to share with you Divrei Torah for the holidays this last year. I am passing on this honor to my colleague and friend, Dr. Tzivia Frank Vigoda, and I'm sure we will all be inspired by her Torah. Throughout the year, I have tried in my Divrei Torah to highlight the different ways our holidays invite us to take responsibility for our communities, our country, our relationship with God, and even for life itself. The realization that however small and imperfect we are, we can make all the difference, that our choices can save the world, is for me the most precious spiritual gift. Utshuva utfila utzdaka ma'avirin et roa ha'gzera. Repentance, prayer, and charity avert the severity of the decree. That in itself is profoundly comforting. Chodesh Tov and Shana Tova.